Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and with us on the phone from Pier, we have South Dakota's Governor Dennis Dugard. Governor Dugard, welcome back to In the Moment.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Lori.
Thanks for being with us today, and let's take a look back at the session that was. Tell me what was particularly satisfying to you. What do you think went really well this year?
Well, we got a lot of things done during the session. I really think it's important for all of us to remember that our legislature is a citizen legislature, and they take time out of their jobs and away from their families, away from their communities to come to Pier, and they don't get paid very much, but they spend the time to do the people's business and then go right back home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good because they focus on being effective while they're here, getting the job done, and then going back home. And in states where they have a year-round legislature, I can see how people drag things out, and so I think our system works well. We got a lot done. I think at the beginning of session, there was a lot of focus on initiated Measure 22. The repeal of that was followed by the passage of a number of bills that addressed many of the items that initiated Measure 22 was concerned with, whether it be government accountability or lobbyist gifts or conflicts of interest, campaign finance. There'll be a summer study on that issue. So a lot of bills passed. Then we got the budget done, of course. The budget was a little tougher this year because revenue is weak, and that weakness really has continued. So we're going to have to watch our expenditures at the end of this fiscal year and hope that our revenue strengthens a little bit. And in the end, they were able to balance the budget honestly and yet still find 0.3%, not much, but better than a freeze or better than a cut, 0.3% for education, Medicaid providers, and to help employees with health insurance.
Sure.
We also got the Animal Disease Research and Diagnostic Lab funded, with lots of contribution from the ag community through their taxes. We got a buffer strip bill passed to encourage people to not till the land right up to the edge of a lake or stream. We got a public safety bill passed. We got legislation to combat meth, which is very problematic in South Dakota these days. We cut the unemployment tax starting in 2018, as now we've recovered from the recession and unemployment taxes are refilling our unemployment tax trust fund. Some of your listeners might know that when the recession came along, we didn't have enough money in our unemployment trust fund, and so we had to borrow money from the federal government. Many states did. We've repaid that, and now we're going to be carrying a more substantial balance in our trust fund. Mm-hmm. And yet, even after doing that, we'll be able to cut our taxes a little bit starting in 2018. We passed some improvements to our retirement laws, our state pension plan, and really all government workers, whether they be school teachers in Sioux Falls or snowplow operators in Winter or university professors in Spearfish, all those public workers are under the South Dakota retirement system, and it's pretty well funded. New Jersey just got their credit rating downgraded because of their pension plan weakness, and South Dakota's plan is well managed, and I give credit to the trustees of the retirement system. They continually look for ways to strengthen the plan so that we observe very small problems and solve them before they become big problems.
Sure. Some things that we talked about, you and I have brought it up before the session started, that didn't happen. Spearfish Canyon, the land trade there, did not go forward, partially because of, what folks, it was a longer process than maybe you thought it was going to be, and then partially because of the finances and the revenue. Where is that right now? Is that whole deal on hold, or are there still conversations going on about portions of it?
Well, we're still proceeding with the master planning process, only because even though There's no interest by the citizens in creating a state park in Spearfish Canyon. We still have parcels of land in Spearfish Canyon, and so does the federal Forest Service. And so it's good to know from our citizens what kinds of things they want to see in the way those lands are managed, both by the state and by the federal government. So I think the process that we started to undertake with an eye toward a park still makes sense to continue, just so we have good communication about what our citizens want.
Sure.
The money wasn't there for the park, and the appetite wasn't there on behalf of the local citizens, certainly. And so sometimes people like my ideas, and sometimes they don't. And that's all right.
So when you say proceeding with the master planning process, what does that mean specifically?
What that means is having a series of meetings. We've had a number of public hearings before we realized we just didn't have the money in any case. We continued those meetings. We had four, I would say, community-wide type meetings. Three were in the Spearfish area. One was in the Bismarck Lake area. And then we've also had, and we may be having some more, focus groups where you get people who are trail users, for example, whether they're bike riders or horseback riders or hikers or snowmobilers, trail users. We might get a group like that together, or a group of local governments that are involved with those areas. So people that are kind of focused on certain aspects of recreation or land use, and we'll get people with that focus together to hear what their wishes are. And then we'll get a report from the group that we hired to undertake all this, and that'll help us govern how we manage all that land going forward.
Is it all still part of one package, or is it separated out? So Bismarck Lake is separate than Spearfish Canyon, or is it still being considered as one big deal?
Well, the two were packaged together only because the land swap was going to be a land swap package. And I don't expect that will occur now. And so, again, the organization that was doing the study will cover both parcels. But certainly how the trail is managed near Spearfish Canyon will not impact how the property that the state has adjacent to Bismarck Lake will be managed, because they're too far apart from one another to impact one another.
And how are folks participating in that now, finding out about the meetings? Is there still a website, or it's an ongoing conversation then?
You know, I assume there's still a website. I haven't stopped to look.
Yeah, I haven't either. We'll have to do a search for that afterwards, and I want to put you on the spot, but I don't remember it either right now.
So. I think the four public meetings have been held already.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but I believe they have. And I think now the meetings are more invitee by consequence of a focus that people have. So they might invite trail user groups who are organized.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move on to, as you look ahead to the final years of your tenure here as governor, the politics of your replacement becomes something we're all talking about. And I'm wondering how that affects you and how you sort of, look at that as, what do you have left to do? What's left that you really want to make sure you get done?
Well, I think it's important for a good leader to follow through on the things one begins, and I think in some quarters that's not always good. People who are very intent on political aspirations, the next step, the next office, they're prone to look for things that get a lot of attention and support, and then once that support and attention is obtained, then they go on to the next thing that will get attention and support, and not really follow through on the first. And so whether it be criminal justice reform or economic development or workforce, all those things that we've talked about in years past, I think it's important to follow through. And then there's some things that are very concrete and unglamorous, things like land use. For example, I just signed the deed for some property that was sold by the state in Yankton, adjacent to the Human Service Center, for $500,000, and that money will go into trust to help support the Human Services Center. But that won't get a lot of attention. It really doesn't impact very many people, but it's good management. And it's been a long slog, because when I came into office, we had, 10 or 15 vacant buildings there. Some of them were moldy, full of dead animals, broken windows. It was an embarrassment, and it was the opposite of good stewardship. And so those buildings, we tried to find uses for them. We tried to find people who wanted to improve them and develop them. No success, but for one building, which is being restored and is going to be magnificent. But the others we demolished, and then we have sold the vacant land. So that kind of boring, unglamorous stewardship, I think, is important.
Yeah.
And we're doing it at the Human Services Center. We're doing it in Redfield at the Development Center. We're doing it in Custer at Star Academy. We're doing it in Plankinton at our former juvenile facility there.
Sure.
Doing it on a lot of fronts.
Where is the Star Academy deal at right now? Because those buildings are certainly not abandoned and falling down and filled with dead animals. It was a fully functioning facility when it closed. And what's the status of that going forward?
Well, the state has 80 acres there, mm-hmm. roughly 80 acres, and some of it is undeveloped forest land, and some of it is very highly developed buildings, set of buildings that were originally a tuberculosis sanitarium and later converted to a facility for those with developmental disabilities. Then as our society moved folks with developmental disabilities into their communities in smaller facilities rather than in big, centrally located, larger facilities that the state ran, then we switched it over to a juvenile detention facility. And as our number of juveniles has been falling over the years, and that decline was accelerated by juvenile justice reform a couple of years ago, we ultimately closed that. It's been about a year now since we've closed it. We sent out a request for proposals, requests for ideas, I guess would be a better way to put it. And we've got 4, 5, 6 ideas from people, some of whom are a little bit pie-in-the-sky dreamers without much financial strength nor experience, but some of which are from well-capitalized, experienced developers. And so now we want to narrow the potential uses and the potential audience of proposers to those who really have credibility and ask them, okay, let's get down to brass tacks. What would you pay? What would you expect from the state? What kind of arrangement can we enter into? And then see what proposals we get. And my hope is by the end of this year, we'll have something in writing and people can start moving ahead with a redevelopment of Star Academy.
Governor Dennis Dugard, our time is short. We hope you'll come back and tell us more. And thank you so much for being here today.
Sure. Good to be with you always, Lori.